Hey, Starting Nine listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This is your Twisted Kings, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Summer is right around the corner.
Nothing is better than grabbing a refreshing Twisted Tea cold on the rocks. It's got 5% alcohol. It is the perfect drink to turn up your summer. And you might be wondering, is this a sponsored ad? Yes. But the truth is, the boys, we love Twisted Tea.
Dude,
go buy it, go drink it, drink responsibly, and tell your boys to buy it as well. Let's have ourselves a hell of a summer. Oh, don't be dumb, drink responsibly.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome back to Starting Nine, episode 65, the World Series preview episode. We got Dallas Braden out in L.A., even though he's not a Dodgers fan. We have Jay Hay at an undisclosed location. We got me over here in New York City. But apparently, I was just informed moments ago at a meeting that took way too long to complete that we are taking a helicopter to Boston tomorrow. A motherfucking helicopter. I don't know how or why that's necessary. I don't know if we're taking a jet ski to get to said helicopter. All I know is that I will be arriving in Boston for game one of the World Series at Fenway Park via motherfucking helicopter. That is quite the entrance. Quite the entrance for the rocket. Dallas, thoughts? Have you ever been in a helicopter before? Do you have any tips on how to survive a helicopter ride?
Yeah, I rode a helicopter when I was 8 at the Asparagus Festival with no doors on it. I've done it several times since. I've actually shot animals while riding in a helicopter, so that's nothing special. And based on the way I've watched Portnoy fly private, it seems like he's typically flying against his fucking will in those cracker jacks of an airplane that they call flying private. No thanks. I'll take Spirit Air, middle seat, row Z, versus those fucking lipstick tubes that old fucking Portnoy gets him. What, does that fucker out there have to spin the fucking props himself before they actually fucking take off? Good luck on you and your fucking helicopter, pal.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I wouldn't be. That's below average at best. Helicopter entrance. For Dave to go helicopter entrance, that's sad and pathetic, to be totally honest, because we are eons as far as time is concerned beyond a helicopter entrance being fucking anything. I mean, our man Biz Nasty for Spittin' Chiclets had a helicopter pilot on speed dial doing the ice bucket challenge. Your fucking shitty ass helicopter ride into Boston when you could jump on a fucking train and make it that much easier? Fucking useless and stupid.
Anyway, so I'm excited for this helicopter. I'm pretty excited for this fucking helicopter. I mean, you know, I've taken many a train ride in my day. And it's 4 hours, especially now you're getting into like flu season. People are going to be coughing and sneezing all over me. You know who's not going to be coughing and sneezing all over me? People inside of a helicopter. We're all healthy. We know who's going to be on the helicopter. So I'm excited. I'm not going to let Dallas rain on my parade, my helicopter parade. It's just not happening. It's just absolutely not happening.
Jared, I got a question. I watched your video reel of your interviews with local Boston, whatever, WECN or whatever.
NECN?
Yep, from back in 2013. When you were doing those sidewalk interviews in 2013, mm-hmm. did you think the next time the Red Sox made the World Series, you'd be returning in a helicopter?
That's a good question. I'm going to go on a limb and say no. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, no, I didn't foresee that scenario happening. But I'll tell you what, I'm excited for this helicopter despite Dallas Braden trying to rain on my parade. I don't see Dallas Braden getting a helicopter. I mean, Dallas Braden's probably going to fly first class, which seems more up his alley. I'm more of a helicopter guy. I feel like it's more of a personality trait than a method of transportation. Helicopter guy, first class guy.
Yeah, no, like I said, Jared, I've already done the helicopter thing. Like, that was old hat. That's old hat for me. Like, oh, helicopter, you know, the novelty has worn off. Kind of like, look it, we can take the top down off of the car. We can convert it from a regular car to a car without a top. We'll call it a convertible. Holy shit, those hit the scene. They were amazing. People that had already ridden in them, Jared, were like, Yeah. Well, we have two cars. We have one with a top and we have one without one. So we don't have to do the whole converting thing. We've got it figured out. But that's cute. You guys are experiencing the helicopter thing.
I have a question for you guys. If Oregon Trail, if there was a starting nine.
Never version, heard of that. Never heard of Oregon Trail. I've never heard of that. It's Oregon Trail on the
no,
West
it's
Coast.
Not. It's,
you
it's
fucking maniacs don't know how to speak the language.
Wrong. It's Oregon Trail. And if there were a starting nine version of Oregon Trail, so that also includes, we'll include the digital show. We'll include.
You'd be shot and put on ice before we even left the fucking campsite, Jared.
We'll include Kevin Clancy and Hubs. So it's Kevin, Hubs, Dallas, myself.
So there's
Jay
our
Hay.
Oxen. Those are our oxen. The Who? First two names are our oxen. You are the meat. You provide food for Jay Hay and I, the strength and the intellect to get us to our goal. Thank you for your service.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think Hubs would die first, to be honest with you. He's
no
he's,
question.
Yeah, Hubs
no
would,
question.
Yeah, it'd probably Clancy, be self-inflicted.
Clancy is also kind of sickly, so
yeah, he is.
I would underrated sickly, and he also makes a big show about not going outside ever. So I think the Oregon Trail would be devastating to him.
Mm-hmm. That is
yeah,
true.
What fucking chance does he have? This isn't a tennis shoe contest. They don't have nobody's post-mating Taco Bell out to his sloppy melted candle body looking ass. Nope.
Yeah.
Yo, Jared, when you step off that helicopter into Fenway, are you going to be wearing a belly shirt?
That really made some headway this past weekend. I didn't really. I thought when you said, you know, 5 years ago when you were doing all that stuff outside of Fenway, did you think that you would be returning with a belly ring? But you went the you went the helicopter route. I hate to inform you guys, but it was fake. It was fake.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No,
wait, Chris.
No,
Chris Sales.
No. No, Jared wants you to believe that his was fake.
Oh, of course it was. So here's
but
what
we
happened.
All know.
Yeah, Chris Sale is fucking with the media, and they asked him, you know, oh, can you explain why you were in the hospital for stomach illness? And he said it was caused by irritation from a belly button piercing, and this story quickly was making the rounds. So I hopped on the Google machine, typed in Halloween stores near me. Called an Uber, went to the Halloween store, bought some fake earrings, and I was CM Punk for Halloween for like 3 straight years, and he has the lip ring, and that one was like a fake earring that it had like this mechanism that you could like push it back so you can adjust it accordingly. This one was kind of just stiff, so that everyone was like, dude, that's definitely real because it was all red and irritated because I had to jam the fucking thing on there, and there you go, it was fake.
I don't believe that. I don't believe it for a minute.
I don't know what to believe in this whole world anymore.
Yeah. No, if you could, that was the craziest part about all of it was that so many, I don't think if I got 500 responses to that tweet, maybe 3 of them were like, that was fake. Everyone else was just convinced that it was real. You think I would actually get my belly button pierced because of Chris Sale?
Yes.
Now that I'm
yes.
saying it out loud, I'm like, no, yes. yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes like I as we sit here right now, I am going to need to physically stare at that. And Jared, I don't want to say this to you on the podcast. So Andrew, stop recording. Okay. Glad he stopped recording. You might want to mix in a crunch or two. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I'm proud of not having actual.
I wouldn't be.
I mean, if I you know, I tweeted that picture with confidence. I was like, you know what? I may not have like abs like Dallas, but I definitely don't look like Hubs. So I'm fine. Like I'm fine with tweeting this picture.
Is that the happy medium you're okay with? A professional athlete and Hubs, just somewhere in the middle there.
Former professional athlete.
I think, always.
I think my stomach is like the physical manifestation of a Chick-fil-A chicken biscuit.
Yeah.
Fluffy and white?
Yeah, just white and fluffy, but delicious.
Unassuming too, because you're kind of a skinny, skinny fat guy. Unassuming.
Yeah, I got a little bit of that going.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this was quite a day. This was quite a day, but it was fake, and I'm sorry for that.
I don't. Who drove you? So you took an Uber to go get your belly button pierced?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we were talking about how you can't even get up and figure out. You know what? I need clothes to wear. I need new clothes to wear. How do we start that process? Like you talked about struggling to get from A to Z in that whole process. And in a matter of moments, you were able to conjure up the energy and wherewithal to locate a piercing pagoda.
It's a fucking Halloween store.
Make your way on down to the
I don't know if you know this, Dallas, but it is October 22nd. Halloween is what? A week from this Wednesday? So there's a lot, and oh, by the way, I live in New York City. A lot of people here in New York City. I mean, fake earrings, very accessible this time of year. Now there's going to be, because I also think, because if you get
this is a lose-lose for you. You understand that, right?
Oh, no, it's a huge win. I think, like, that tweet did over a million impressions.
No, so you either have the balls to stand with your team, or you don't have the balls to stand with your team. And it seems like this right here, you backing out of, like, that's what a go-getter would have done.
No, I disagree, because I would say of the – hold on. Let me just double-check how many people actually saw this tweet, because there are ways to go about looking at this tweet. It did 1,058,170 impressions. That's how many times it was viewed. And I would say that 99% of those people actually believe that I got it done. And perception is reality, Dallas. Everyone thinks that you're Animal from the Muppets, so therefore you are Animal from the Muppets. Everyone thinks that I got my belly button pierced, therefore I got my belly button pierced. So that's just, I didn't have to go with the physical torture of doing it.
I guess that those are facts.
Yeah. Okay, if you don't mind, I'd like to say a few words about my Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh, yeah.
Don't fucking laugh, Dallas. Don't fucking laugh.
Yeah. What do you got for us, sweet prince?
Here's the deal. I went to hell and back with this team over the last 2 years, dying for a championship. I was there for every pitch this season, or at least 93% of those pitches. I was there on this very podcast in February saying, Brew Crew, do or die, let's go, World Series. That team came within one game of getting to the World Series, and I cannot tell you how proud I am of this group that defied the odds. Christian Yelich, National League MVP. The only person that saw that coming, Dallas Braden. Travis Shaw, 30 bombs. Lorenzo Cain, top two or three in the league and wins above replacement. I mean, you had Arcia have a great year. You had
That's
Braun with a renaissance season. Jesus Aguilar, first half MVP. Second half, not so much. You had Jeffress coming to his own. You had Hader become a household name. You had Knebel take a reduced role for the betterment of this team. And guess what, Dallas? They're all back in 2019. Everybody's under contract. I think Jonathan Scope, who they traded for at the deadline, he's in his last year of arbitration. There are rumors that he might get non-tendered. I could see that happening in order to accommodate Travis Shaw at second base, whatever. Mike Moustakas has a club option.
Is that really what you like, Travis Shaw, to accommodate Travis Shaw at second base? Is that where you see the future of that club, Travis Shaw at second base?
Are you kidding me? I mean, guy hit fucking 30 bombs.
No, but at second base, like he is a, like you're okay with that.
They got within one game of the World Series, and do you recall any time where you were like, Craig Counsell, what are you doing, buddy, with Travis Shaw at second base? He just cost you a game. That just never happened. I thought he did a great job making that transition to second base.
I don't know how, I mean, how long did he play second base for? The whole season?
Long enough. The sample size was big enough to know whether or not he was going to be a liability defensively, and he was not. That's just a fact. So, yeah, Moustakas, mutual option. You just look around the – the only thing that I – here's – I'm going to make a quick prediction. I'm going to make a quick prediction for you right now on October 22nd. The Milwaukee Brewers this offseason will trade for JT Realmuto.
Because they need a catcher.
Because they need a catcher.
Could
he's,
be a...
he's not staying in Miami. For sure not staying in Miami. I think that that's the move. It's hard to say if that's the move that puts them over the top. But Woodruff going to the rotation, I don't know if they add another starter or not.
Gonna maybe. Have to.
That, well, I mean, is Woodruff going from the bullpen to the rotation the move to make? I mean, is that the guy? Is that the
now,
move
now
that
you're gonna have to, now you're gonna have to fill that void in the bullpen?
Are you though? Because their bullpen is still stacked. Even if you take one guy out, I mean, you don't. Yeah, I mean, like even if you go.
Well, they're watching this game from the fucking from the couch because their bullpen.
That's
wasn't
not true. That's I don't think that that's true. All right, let's talk about that then. Jay Hay, before Dallas and I give our takes on why the Milwaukee Brewers are not moving on to the World Series, what in Game 7? What was the one thing that you thought was the reason why the Milwaukee Brewers lost that game?
They didn't score as many runs as the Dodgers.
Yeah, the single – I mean, I honestly don't know that there was a single reason that jumped out to me other than the fact that they got to their best pitchers by the time they were already losing. And I don't even know if that was a bad strategy or not. It's just the way that the game played out. Chacin had pitched well to that point. But by the time their best arms were in, the game was – the game. I mean, they were already losing. That was the standout point to me.
Well, the Chris Taylor catch didn't help. Be honest.
No, that was
so.
That
so hold on, because Hader was the second man in. Are you saying that you would have started Josh Hader?
No. I wasn't questioning the strategy. All I was saying was that's like the standout impression that I have looking back on the game is that by the time the Brewers did in fact get to their best pitchers, they were already losing. I'm not criticizing. I'm just stating that that was the fact, and that's what I will remember from the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
I didn't advocate for Josh Hader starting the game, and I'm not saying they did anything wrong. I'm just saying like that's what happened. And I like if Jared's saying the game turned on a particular player or a particular move, I'm just saying that that's not what I saw, and I don't have that answer.
No, yeah, I would agree with that. That wasn't the case. I was curious as to why they don't go to Guerra before Hader. That was a guy who could give you length as well, because ultimately you're trying to. Like I understand the theory or the idea behind we'll run our best guys out there, keep you know, all in a row, keep the game where it's at. Like I also understand we have to score fucking runs in order to win this game. And if we are not in the lead right now, fuck keeping this ball game where it's at. All right. I've got guys down there that I've had to rely on, like Guerra, to give me extended life, to give me extended outings when I need them, if that's gonna be the case right now. I want somebody who can keep it here, and then I'm going to need somebody who can shut it down when we take the lead. That's where I felt like Hader could have come in. But to your point, Jay, hey, you don't plan on giving up the early bomb. You don't plan on being down early. And when it happens, you're left with your feet to the fire. Like, what are we going to do? Because you don't want to leave that game having not pitched Josh Hader, right? Like, that makes no sense. Well, and you also don't want to wait until you're down by four to pitch Hader. But it's some – I mean, I don't know. I just
– Do you think the Hader could have gone another inning? Because that was the holdup with me. Was I think he hadn't pitched more than three innings this year, but he was at, like, 30-something pitches. He had pitched more – he had thrown more pitches than the pitches that he was at. And it's like, what are you saving it for? It's game seven. And I don't mean to come down on Craig Counsell because I think that he has a very strong case for National League Manager of the Year. Hope he wins it. But what are you saving Hader for? Like, air that motherfucker out. And there were multiple factors as to why the Brewers lost this game. But to me, Hader had to go another inning. To give the Brewers the best chance to win that game, I needed Hader to go one more inning. But again, not to put everything on Counsell. There are other outside circumstances that led to the Milwaukee Brewers winning that game. Chacin didn't have his best stuff.
Is there nobody else in that? Is there nobody else in that bullpen that could have given you an inning?
Of course there
like,
was.
Like, do you want the fourth inning out of Hader, or do you want one fresh inning out of Guerra?
I want the fourth inning out of Hader, to be honest with you. I mean, they weren't touching him. And you know, again, there's the adrenaline aspect of Game 7. This is a guy that it's not like you're going to a closer who's you know, used to one inning at a time, or maybe once in a while they'll go six outs for you or five outs save. Sure, Hader's used to going multiple innings. That's kind of what he does. So when you're talking about a closer, the difference between three outs, five outs, six outs is pretty big. The difference for three innings and four innings for Hader, probably not that big. Like, I feel like he could have handled that. So
those are ups and downs, though. And that's what, like, people want to get caught up in the pitch count. But you have to think the body is whether or not it's used to getting up, getting down, getting up, getting down, getting up, getting down on that arm. That's what you're considering when you think about an extended outing for a reliever. How many times throughout the season have they gone and done this? How many times have they given us this type? Because, fuck, I believe Kenley Jansen has fucked around and gone three innings before as a closer in the postseason.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you want to see him continually roll out there.
Sure.
For three innings at a time. But
you definitely,
fuck,
don't.
You'll take it. So how about this? 23 different times throughout the season, Josh Hader went two-plus innings. 23 times, two-plus innings. 33 times on the season, one-plus innings, meaning outings of four outs or more. So he could do it, Jared. Only one time during the entire season did he go three innings, only once, and that was in July. So Game 7, your idea of unloading it, I get it. But then, just because the way the game goes, what if Hader gives up two in that fourth inning? Now you're talking about Craig Counsell not having a feel for when his guy has hit the end of his rope, got to pull him. This guy's never given you four innings, Craig. How do you run him out there and expect him to blah, blah? Yeah. So, I mean, that's a shitty scenario for Counsell to be stuck in.
Yeah. No, but I mean, nothing to hang your head over, Brewers fans. It was a great year. Best record in the National League. Blew past the Cubs to win the NL Central in the month of September. It was a great year. A lot of great moments and a lot of things to be happy about looking forward. This was not a flash in the pan season. Brew Crew, we'll be back. We'll be back.
What are your thoughts on the NL MVP just...
homering in Game 7. Yeah, that was awesome. We Not wrapped up the gold bottles giveaway.
Nope.
Where
no
a Stoolie snagged two World Series tickets.
That's
Stay
true.
Tuned for anything we might get going for the World Series. In the meantime, FanDuel.com/Viva is now the official home of all of our advisor picks. You can go there, see everybody's records, and watch the show once it's live on Sunday morning. Not only that, but you can jump in the $1 Beat Dave contest and win $500 or play PMT's weekly leaderboard, where there's still time to win a trip to Atlanta in February, even if you haven't played yet, or play both. All that at FanDuel.com/Viva. Plus, if you're in New Jersey, make sure you use promo code STOOL on FanDuel Sportsbook, and they'll double your first deposit up to $100. $100. Hey, Jay, hey.
Yo, what up, dog?
Yo, you want to play a little question game here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
All right. World Series preview. Mm-hmm. This is what we've been leading up to this point all year. It's what all the podcasts have gone into, grinding, analyzing, and here we are with the Red Sox and the Dodgers. Here are eight questions that I'm going to tee you guys up on. You guys give me your visceral reactions.
Okay.
Number one. Since they've been known as the Dodgers, these two teams have never met in the World Series. Los Angeles and Boston, East Coast, West Coast. How does that make you guys feel?
Honestly, I was surprised. I mean, like, you know, it was 1960 and they were under a different name, so everyone's like, oh, they've never been the World Series before. But even if that they were known as the Dodgers in 1916, that's still crazy that it's been this long since they've met in the World Series when, you know, despite the Red Sox going 86 years without winning one, they were still in a bunch. The Dodgers have always been a premier franchise. The Red Sox have always been a premier franchise. So, I was like, hell yeah, let's go. Little story. I'm tired of fucking beating the Cardinals. Let's see somebody new.
Yeah, I mean, I could really give a shit less. It doesn't matter to me at all. Give a fuck.
Salty
I don't care that
Dallas.
These two teams have never seen each other. What do I give a shit about?
Dallas.
Honestly, the cool thing is these are two very different fan bases that are going to collide. And that's something that intrigues me because after walking around Boston and enjoying the activities and enjoying the energy of the fans in their specific environments, in their drinking establishments, I got a good feel for how these folks like to go about their business. I've had a good feel for how these folks like to go about their business. On the flip side, out here in LA, I also know how these folks like to go about their business. It would be really entertaining to watch.
Choose your words wisely, Dallas.
Yeah, to watch Timmy and Polly from Southie make their way through Chavez Ravine. Maybe through some of the tailgating that's going on, and say some of the shit that I was hearing out then. Use some of the terms to describe some of the players on the Dodgers that it'd be entertaining, Jared, to say the least. So that's what I think. I think of the Hardo Southie fan base from Boston that doesn't represent the entire fan base. It represents a good portion of them. Guys and girls that I fucking love those Boston Maniacs. But they're squaring off against a totally different type of bravado out here on the West Coast, especially in Dodger Town, folks. It's a totally different ball of wax, all right? I hate to blend these two topics because one is very serious. And the other, I'm obviously just sort of, you know, satirizing. But everything that happened between the Giants and the Dodgers with the fan Brian Stowe, this individual was attacked by Dodger fans. That's where it's at. Like, that's where their mentality is this will get fucking physical right now. And not physical, like, oh, pushing and shoving. Like, no. Like, we'll treat this like it's fucking Battledome, like a, you know, like no, So I think there's going to be some fireworks in the stands during this series. That's what I think. I'm also curious to see how well traveled the Los Angeles Dodgers are, because we know how well traveled the Red Sox fan base is. Everywhere they go, you're going to see Red Sox fans. So I wonder what Fenway looks like with Dodgers fans.
I don't know if they probably travel that well.
If they get stomped out.
I mean, I feel like Dodger fans, I've already had we've crossed paths on the internet. I would say that they're pretty good sports. I'd say that, like, most of the shit talking that has gone on between me and Dodger fans already has been pretty playful. I'm expecting a great series between these two teams. Here's the thing. The Red Sox blew through the Yankees. They blew through the Astros. Both of those teams are better than the Dodgers. Can we agree with this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Regardless of that fact, I refuse to pick the Red Sox in 4. I refuse to pick the Red Sox in 5. I don't think that how the Red Sox handled the Astros and the Yankees really plays a factor into how they're going to play against the Dodgers. The Dodgers lineup, very good. Dodgers starting pitching, very good. The bullpen can be good at times. We've seen it be pretty shitty this year too. But yeah, I mean, I'm expecting a great series. I'm not looking at what the Red Sox did to the Yankees and the Astros and being like, oh, writing off the Dodgers. No, the Dodgers are a very good team. They're in the World Series for the second straight year. They deserve all of that, all that credit, all the praise that they've gotten. They're here again. Dave Roberts said back in April when they were what, 12-16. He said at the end of the year, they were at one point the Dodgers were 10 games out. At one point, they were in fourth place. They were in like third place as late as August 30th, 31st. And then they still won the division. And now they're back in the World Series. And Dave Roberts said at the end of the year, we're going to be right back at the top. And where are they? Right back at the top. So they have the leadership. That's why if you want to go down the list of checkpoints for the Dodgers, I mean, Dave Roberts is a National League Manager of the Year. That's the guy that you get calling the shots for the Dodgers. So, no. I'm not looking past L.A. I'm not looking. I know that.
I didn't ask you if you were looking past L.A.
No, I know that. I'm
that
just
wasn't
saying,
the fucking question.
No, I'm at not. All. I'm not talking about the question. I'm saying like.
No, we get it. You're just talking at this point. We both understand that.
Yeah,
we know.
This is a podcast. You're supposed to talk on it. I am talking.
Question number two. Who is more important to their respective team? Clayton Kershaw or Chris Sale?
Jared, thoughts on the American peso? Ready, go.
Definitely Chris Sale. Definitely Chris Sale. Actually,
yeah, it's Chris Sale. Not for the reason you want it to be either, though.
Hold
it's
on,
Chris
time
Sale.
Out. No, I
changed
it.
No,
it's Clayton Kershaw.
Belly button here.
No,
it's
Clayton Kershaw. Yeah, it is. The Red Sox swept the Astros without Chris Sale. The answer is Clayton Kershaw.
And that's why it's Chris Sale, is because you didn't see that coming. You understand
no, but it
how
it happened.
That's fine, but it didn't come because Chris Sale was of any impact. You actually won that series in spite of Chris Sale not giving you. I mean, look, 4 innings, 2 runs, 4 walks, I believe, wasn't great at all. It basically was Alex Cora doing a good job of biding his time and waiting for an opportunity to get Chris Sale the fuck out of that ballgame. And nobody, and I mean nobody, is excited. Nobody is like, yes, Chris Sale is taking the ball for the. You don't have that feeling, Jared. Nobody on the Red Sox has that feeling. Nobody, as a fan of the Red Sox, has that feeling about Chris Sale getting ready to take the ball. It's a feeling of apprehension, and it is a feeling of the unknown. What are we about to get? Because if you want to run out your 4 innings of one hit baseball theory, which I watched Boston Red Sox fans try to do in the NLDS or ALDS, 4 walks, 94 best bolt. Slider looked atrocious at times. So I don't
I would say
know.
The slider was better than the fastball.
I don't that's and that is a problem because it wasn't better than the fastball because he couldn't throw either. For strike.
That, I don't think so, that's true. Are you talking about Chris Sale?
Yeah, the guy who had 4 fucking walks?
Yeah, no, it was the fastball. He couldn't locate the fastball. He went to 6 straight sliders because that's all he could throw at one point.
No, Jared, he went to 6 straight sliders because he doesn't have the confidence in 93 and 92 and 94. That's why he threw 6 straight sliders.
I don't think that's true either. He gave up one hit.
I promise you.
He gave up one hit.
I don't care. Jared, have you heard of effectively wild? Do you understand what that phrase means? Do you know what that means?
Effectively wild would play yes. If it was like 98, 99.
No, Jared, no. See, that's where your lack of knowledge comes into play, my friend. Effectively wild means there's quite literally zero reference.
My lack of knowledge.
Into velocity. Yes.
My lack of knowledge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Effectively wild means I'm not throwing strikes consistently. I'm throwing him just enough to keep you off balance because of all the fucking balls I'm throwing. Has nothing to do with how hard the baseball's coming in. But when you want to get to pitch selection with a guy who's throwing 99, 100 miles an hour at times, and then all you see is 6 straight sliders, it's not because his slider is so fucking devastating. Especially not right then and there. Because we saw that tired fastball, and we saw that tired slider rolling in and out of the zone at times. So nobody, back to my point, is excited and just can't fucking wait for Chris Sale. I said I can't wait to see a Chris Sale, Clayton Kershaw outing because that's two studs, two beasts getting after it. But what kind of beast, what kind of stud are we getting? Clayton Kershaw is out doing dry work at midnight in Fenway. Chris Sale is in the hospital dealing with a belly button infection.
I can't understand that. I'm so dumb. My lack of knowledge couldn't comprehend what you're talking about.
Well, I just now you're back on track. You're understanding effectively. Wild, that's right. Doesn't have anything to do with velocity. It has more to do with his ability to execute certain pitches. And now that Dallas broke it down for me and explained that he wasn't executing the slider and he wasn't executing the fastball to a great degree of efficiency, it was actually execution to a degree of efficiency that allowed him to be effectively wild.
Sure. Pretty good one hit. And Clayton Kershaw is more important in the series because the Red Sox swept the fucking Houston Astros without Chris Sale. That's just a fact.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
Question number three. Which bullpen currently inspires more confidence?
Oh.
Dodgers. Yeah, I'll tell you. It's probably the Dodgers. It's the bullpen with the 1.30 ERA during the postseason. It's the bullpen with a sub-1 whip. It's the bullpen with a .250 on-base percentage. It's the bullpen who's covered 41 and two-thirds innings, allowing 27 hits, 6 earned runs, 13 walks, 51 strikeouts. It's that bullpen. It's not the Boston bullpen that's covered 37 and a third innings, 26 hits, 15 earned runs, 5 long balls, 25 walks with 35 strikeouts. I don't think it's that bullpen. I don't think it's the bullpen.
I don't.
With 1.7 WHIP and an ERA over 3.5 and an on base percentage of over .330. I don't think I fear that bullpen.
No, but
as much as
I'm going to pick the Dodgers here, but still, I'd be interested in picking like the top 4 or 5 relievers, like the guys actually should be looking
about,
at.
And think about
like,
that,
a lot
too,
of the
Jared,
Red Sox
you,
bullpen numbers are probably skewed because of mop up guys.
And they're skewed because of starters, because you have guys like Rick Porcello, Chris Sale going out there and pitching in relief roles. So those numbers reflect on the bullpen, but neither one of those guys are actually bullpen members. Those are guys that are going to be starting the baseball games for you. So when you look at the arms who are actually working out of the bullpen, a guy like Brazier or Workman, Hembry, and who's the other fuck that's throwing the ball well right now?
Wait, Matt Barnes.
Yes. So those three guys right there, great, outstanding. But the Dodgers, they've got guys like that as well. They have guys to match up those three arms, but they also have guys like Alex Wood. They also have guys like Kenta Maeda who, and you're going, well, those are fucking starters, Dallas. Those are fucking, well, no, Jared, they're not. They're relievers right now for this team. So that is the bullpen that I ride with, is the Los Angeles Dodgers bullpen.
We picked
also
the same
because
bullpen.
I get it. I'm just telling you that's the bullpen that I ride. You mentioned that the Dodgers are the ones that you're going to ride with. I'm telling you, here's the one I'm riding with, and here's why. It's also because they have a closer who I think for the most part people feel confident can close the baseball.
I mean, they're one and two.
Not that.
I mean, as going back to last year, I mean, Craig Kimbrell wasn't.
So you haven't experienced the roller coaster that is Craig Kimbrell this offseason or this postseason? Is that what you're telling me?
He was tipping his pitches. They corrected it, and he was lights out after that.
That's fine. One outing after that,
mm-hmm.
He had one out.
Yep.
Just one outing after that.
Yeah. We'll see.
So I think this question, I think, is the one I'm most interested to see how it is addressed, both by you guys and in the actual World Series. Number 4, how do you see Alex Cora addressing the no DH element when the series moves to LA?
Oh, that's an easy one.
Yeah, I mean, it's fucking simple.
Yeah, Mookie's fucking playing second base, buddy.
Yeah.
He's doing that.
Yeah, Mookie plays second, and it gives you Benny or JBJ, lefty bat off the bench with JD Martinez hiding out there in left field. Good to go.
What do you mean off the bench? You'd have
Jackie.
Jackie would still be in center. What are you talking about?
I said Jackie or Benny.
I mean, Benny's in left.
Where does JD play?
Right.
JD plays right.
Yeah.
Mookie plays
second.
And so you're taking so JBJ in center and Benny in left.
Yep. And JD in right.
And JD in right.
Mookie at second. So you have Kinsler, Brock Holt, Nunez all off the bench. I don't know why you're shaking your head. Mookie Betts is a natural second baseman. That's what he was drafted as. That's what he played pretty much.
Nobody's
95.
Shaking their head. I can see you right now. Everybody, I'm mulling over in my head.
You know that they've actually done this before, right? Like, I don't know if your lack of knowledge is coming into play here, but Mookie Betts is a second baseman.
How many times they do it this year? How many times they do it this year, Jared?
I mean, he is a second baseman.
How many times they do it this year?
You don't just lose that.
How many times do they do it this year?
He played second base one time this year.
Okay, I said that too. So the lack of knowledge comment out the window.
Right,
no,
but he's,
I stated
he
that.
Literally no, no, came up as a second baseman. I don't know why this is like even something that you have to think about.
It's nothing I have to think about. We all know that. We all know that Mookie Betts played second base.
Yeah.
Before becoming an
correct
outfielder.
And he still takes grounders before every single game. So it's not like he's rusty.
For
there
every
yet.
Single game?
Oh yeah.
For every single game?
Yes.
Because he didn't take ground balls in Oakland, Jared.
I mean, he takes infield in every series at second base. Yes, he does. He takes infield during batting practice.
It didn't happen in Oakland. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, maybe you just missed it.
Number five. What is your reaction to Manny Machado and Yasiel Puig seemingly embracing their villain roles?
I don't think that, like, I mean, Manny Machado is just a fucking asshole. I don't think Puig is embracing being a villain. I think he's just doing what he's always done, but it rubs people the wrong way because the Dodgers are winning. Puig's just having fun out there. I don't hate anything that Puig's doing, flipping the bat, getting excited. You know, he's sliding into third base and crossing his legs like he's laying on the couch. He's doing the suck it going around second base. Like, that's just, I love that. I mean, I'm sure it's going to piss me off in the World Series, but Puig's just having fun. It's what he's always done. That's his brand. Manny Machado is just a fucking dickhead. Like, he's trying to hurt people. He's encouraging people to boo him louder, which I think is like a defense mechanism to be like, see, it's not bothering me. I'm telling him to do it louder. If I didn't like it, I would definitely want to tell him to do it louder. He was rattled. When he was up there in game six and they were booing the shit out of him, he was trying to hit an 8-run home run every single time. Like, he was absolutely affected by the boos. So I would say that there's a little bit of a difference there.
Yeah, the difference is I hope we doesn't get lumped in, oddly enough, and led to slaughter by Manny Machado, meaning misery loves company. And as receptive to the boos and all this shit that we think Manny Machado might be right now, in his mind, it's a lonely place. Because even if you watch the celebrations when they score runs and Manny's coming in, like I forget who it was. He scored, and he came around to score, and Chris Taylor was in the on-deck circle or going to go up to hit. And it was after a home run, and Manny came in, and you can see guys just sort of, oh, hey, good job, Manny. Just kind of lean in. You know, there isn't that unbridled, you've already been accepted, you've already been welcomed into the team fold, you're a part of, like, inside jokes, you're part, like, that, nope, not at all, not at all. So what I hope doesn't happen is Manny looks to Puig and is like, yeah, man, just live this up, bro, just do this, just live this up. You see, they eat it up, they like, because like you said, Jared, no, a group of people, like, physically want to harm Manny Machado, fans, you know what I mean? People have sort of, I think Puig has now endeared himself to that Puig being Puig, kind of like how Manny being Manny, and not Manny Machado, because Manny being Manny is reserved for one Manny.
That's right.
Manny.
That's
and
right.
That's Manny. He's not trying to hurt anybody. Wasn't trying to fucking take anybody's leg out. Wasn't trying to do anything like that. He was taking a little too long to piss in the monster. He was cutting off balls in the left field. That's what Manny being Manny is, okay? Manny Machado trying to take guys' legs out and hitting people in the head with bats and shit, not checking on them, throwing bats at people, slides, all of this shit, that's Manny just being an asshole. That's the bottom line. So, Puig, keep doing your thing. People are starting to come around on you. Your talent will continue to surface and show them who you are. And I'm with the energy. I mean, the fucking hip thrust around first. Those hip thrusts.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Those are fucking incredible. I mean, for Christ's sake, the entire state of Wisconsin needs to go get a pregnancy test done after those hip thrusts. Because I mean, from rounding first base, you're not safe.
No.
I will say, and I think the points you guys made are very fair to distinguish between the two. The reason that I lumped the two of them together in the question is not necessarily the where their energy is coming from. Like, obviously, there's been a maliciousness to Machado's antics. But the fact that, like, it does seem that they are in some ways feeding off of each other when good things happen. Like, the cameras are constantly going to one or the other when one is on base and the other's in the club or in the dugout or outside of the dugout. So there seems to be, or maybe that's just the way the networks are framing it for us. But
you got it.
Yep. Well, there you go. We stumbled on it.
Well, you know, Jay, what that is. You know how important it is for a network to find a storyline and then just fucking beat you over the head with it.
I basically just talked myself right to the answer. Thank you for your quiet guidance. Question number six: who is under more pressure to win, the team that won 108 games during the regular season or the team that hasn't won the World Series in 30 years?
This is easy.
It's the Red Sox.
Yep.
Yeah, they can't lose this series.
You guys really think it's that easy?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I can do. See the whole going back to back. Like, if the Dodgers back lose this back. World Series, there's no shame in that because everyone will be like, yeah, the Red Sox won 108 games. They dusted the second and third best teams in baseball. I mean, like, if you were to rank the best teams in baseball, the Dodgers are not in that top three. It's the Red Sox, Astros, and Yankees. So the Red Sox handled those two teams. So to lose to the Dodgers now after what they've accomplished all year long, the pressure is on them. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, 108 wins. 108 wins. You don't win the World Series? That's 108 regular-ass wins. 108 regular season wins. Good fucking job. Great job. Outstanding. You guys won 11 more ball games than the team that paid their players collectively the least amount of money to go play a professional baseball season. Mm-hmm. That, like, you win 108 games, you better win every fucking game in the postseason. That's what I mean. That's the mindset. So if you do not win the post, David Ortiz said it himself. Like, you can't even entertain the conversation about where this Red Sox team shakes out as far as the best Red Sox team in the history of. But if they win the World Series, David Ortiz told you himself, there's really no debating who the best Red Sox team in history is. It's going to be the team that won the most games. So if that's the case on the side of a win, they become the best team in franchise history. You can't tell me that anything short of winning and earning that title isn't a failure. It's a complete and total fucking failure is what it's going to be.
All of that is totally fair. I don't disagree with any of that. Part of me feels like back-to-back World Series, what is this now? Six straight division titles, the specter of the Giants, three World Series looming in the background, the idea that you may not have some of these key pieces next year, and the fact that they haven't won in 30 years. I get it. Nothing you guys said is wrong. I just feel like there is, even though it was a much less impressive regular season, I feel like the Dodgers are under an enormous amount of pressure. Also, you said something that I think would be an interesting topic for an off-season podcast, because I get that they won 108 games, and I get that Poppy is giving them the credit if they win. I'm not so easily convinced that this Red Sox team would actually be the objectively greatest of all time if they win. But that would be something cool to dig into at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Question number seven, we sort of touched on this, but more specifically, who would you rather have at the end of the game, Kenley Jansen or Craig Kimbrel?
Jansen.
Give me Jansen.
Yeah. Need Jansen in that spot. And it's not that, I would say Craig Kimbrel's fastball more electric. Like, I'm taking Kimbrel's fastball. I'm taking his curveball based on stuff, but Jansen's gotten it done in the regular season. He's gotten it done in the postseason. Kimbrel has not gotten it done in the playoffs. And, you've had some games this postseason where Kimbrel is, what, 5 for 5? He's perfect in save chances. But he's had some cushion. I mean, say it this way. If it's a one-run ball game, who do you want? Jansen. Debate over.
For
if
sure.
It's a three-run lead, maybe I'll entertain the idea. But I mean, if you're gonna take Jansen with a 1-run lead, you're also gonna take Jansen with a 3-run lead.
So I'm with you, Jared. Here was my thought process: is you look at their, again, when I think bullpen guys, I think closer guys. I look at dominant factor. I look at how much traffic are you allowing, the swing and miss rate. Because if I'm looking to just prevent scoring runs for a 3-out time frame, I don't even want you touching the fucking baseball. I just don't even want you touching it. And Craig Kimbrel provides you that just a hair better, just a tick better maybe than Kinley does. So with that being as close as it is, you mentioned fastball and curveball, right, Jared?
Yes.
The reason I stick with Kinley is because I'm looking for one pitch out of you to execute. And for Craig, if one of those two isn't there, he's a little harder pressed to get those outs. It's not like it's a complete fumble fuck for Kimbrel if he can't locate the curveball or is just spraying the fastball over the place, all over the place, and getting the swings and misses on the curveball. I'm not saying that. I'm saying more times than not, Craig is going to have to be clicking on two cylinders when Kinley, for the better part of his career and the better part of it, will be moving forward, will just be one.
Uno.
And it's a fucking devastator. It's a hellacious cutter.
Yeah.
It's the one that we talk about. The only time Mariano Rivera's name is brought up is when you see an absolute bastard cutter out of the hand of Kinley Jansen, because it's, oh my God, 95 with that kind of fucking movement. Fucking gross. So give me Kinley and his ability to move and command that cut fastball all over the zone and give those hitters fits.
I would also take Jansen. I think it's interesting how quickly these storylines and narratives can move, because if you would have asked, I know it's now a long time ago, but if you would have asked this question at the beginning of September, when we didn't even know if Kenley Jansen was going to be able to pitch for the Dodgers, it's amazing. And, you know, Kimbrel was as lights out as anybody at that time. Perhaps maybe save for like Hader and Trinan and guys like that. Final question. Who do you think wins the 2018 World Series, and in how many games?
Dodgers in five.
Fuck you, Dallas.
Wow.
That is
Dodgers
so,
in five.
You're a fucking idiot.
Dodgers in five.
Dallas is
Chris Sale shits the bed, puts the bullpen behind the biggest fucking eight ball that they've seen since Studio 54, and it's fucking go time in Tinseltown. Hollywood, get your fucking party ready.
Justin, a more objective view on this series. I'm going to take the old-fashioned Sox in six.
Six, you're so tired.
I'm gonna so take. Tired. I'm gonna go back into my little bag of tricks. I'm gonna reach deep down in there. I'm gonna fiddle around at the bottom of the bag. I'm gonna pull out Old Reliable from 2013, and I'm going to say Sox in six.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I don't.
I mean, play the hits, right? Play the hits, right? I don't know whether to be encouraged or irritated that Dallas is picking the Dodgers in five. I'm going Dodgers in seven.
Jesus Christ.
I am sentimentally would love to see Alex Cora win. That is who I'll be emotionally rooting for. But something tells me that it's going to be the Dodgers in an epic series. We've been spoiled by seven-game series leading up over the last 5-10 years, particularly in the World Series. But I think the Dodgers are going to come to play. I think Clayton Kershaw is going to. I think it's happening.
Say it, Jay Hay. Fucking say it.
The narrative. The narrative is over. He's going to shove it down the Red Sox ass. It's going to be two.
Let's go.
It's going to be two big time starts.
Yes!
I don't even know if he gives up a run in the series.
Oh, let's go. No.
Thank
let's
you, Jay Hay. Thank you.
That's
is great.
That's what the fuck I'm talking about. That is exactly where my heart lies. You got Clayton Kershaw, Jared Carrabas doing fucking dry work while the rest of the Boston Red Sox are 10 toes up in the rack trying to figure out a way to get it done. Clayton Kershaw's not looking for help, leaving no stone unturned. No stone unturned. Giving his level best when the chips are down. You want to rest? We got all fucking offseason to rest. It's time to iron out the kinks and get ready to bring home that World Series hardware, that MVP hardware, two starts, Clayton Kershaw, 14 and two-thirds innings of work during this World Series, maybe two earned runs. He will be the World Series MVP.
Okay. Remember when you guys both picked the Astros? are you tired of your vape always dying or losing your extra pods? That's why you need Kite, a new portable vape charger and pod case that's compatible with Juul. Kite gives your vape up to 3 full charges. It also holds up to 3 additional pods. Whether you're getting ready for an all-day tailgate or an all-night party, Kite will make sure that you're always charged up. Protect your vape. Hold on to accessories and store extra charges with a single case. And Kite's slim profile means it fits right in your pocket. Get yours today at kitecharger.com and get $5 off for a limited time and use this promo code for free shipping. Kite products are not associated with or nor sponsored by Juul Labs Incorporated. Twitter questions!
Oh, boy. Should we hit Pepper first?
Sure. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah, let's play some Pepper.
Quickly, rapid fire here. Jose Altuve undergoes right knee surgery. Concerned, not concerned?
Not concerned. Not concerned at all. He'll be back. He'll be just fine. I have zero concerns about this.
Not concerned.
All right. Angels have hired Brad Ausmus as their manager to replace Mike Scioscia. I think I know where you guys are going with this one. The boss on Brad Ausmus is the new manager.
I don't know. If I were an Angels fan, probably not enthused. Probably not enthused. I'm sure he's a great guy. He's a stud. I mean, Google it. Brad Ausmus, great shirtless pictures. I can relate. But I don't think he's – if you're trying to turn a new leaf with this organization and move forward in a new direction, if you want to be the analytical type – you want to also have a manager that thinks on his toes. I don't know if it's the right choice. I would have waited it out.
This is a team and a manager that need each other more than ever.
God.
At the most important time of their lives. And that's what's happening here is Brad Ausmus has been brought in to deliver a veteran type of approach. But under the understanding that we are progressive and we are a forward-thinking organization, and this is your opportunity to use that Dartmouth education to allow us, because I believe Billy Epler's quote was, we are looking for somebody who can understand probabilistic strategies moving forward. What that means is we are looking for somebody who understands that when we want to start a guy who hasn't faced a guy and hit him second, it's because our numbers and our analytics and our homework tells us, based on our simulations, that he's going to be just fine today. So, Brad, put him in the fucking lineup. Got it? And they're looking for Brad to, based on his past experiences and the opportunity he has now, to go... okay, no problem. So that's what they're going to get.
Red's name, David Bell, manager. Thoughts on this?
I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home.
Didn't hate the move. Didn't hate the move. But are you guys sort of surprised that a lot of these teams are jumping on managers right now? Like, wouldn't you kind of – I guess that's sort of the truth. Like, I think Cora got hired right after the World Series. When you know, you know. But aren't there better candidates out there? Aren't there guys out there that are just maybe better options?
But if they are, Jared, who are those guys? Because Girardi was in this mix, right? And Girardi laid out.
But didn't he say that he's waiting for the Cubs?
He didn't say it. That is industry speculation.
No shit. Yeah, but right. I mean, like, if it comes from a place where I'm sure he said it to a guy who said it to a guy.
So just think about that. You've got Joe Girardi, who is waiting around for a job that is currently occupied by one of the most progressive and forward-thinking managers in baseball, under a GM who was one of the most forward and progressive-thinking GMs in the game of baseball, and you are waiting for that job as a manager who was asked to leave a organization that is fancying themselves as a progressive and forward-thinking organization in New York, and you couldn't make it work there in that payroll, in that environment, and now you're going to wait around for Chicago? That's crazy for me. Like, isn't that one of the reasons why Joe left town? Was they felt like he couldn't communicate with the younger players. He was rejecting some of the data. Like, I mean,
I don't buy that. Like, how Joe Torre wrote the book, The Yankee Years. I'm waiting for the fucking Girardi years so that he can be like, yeah, dude, like, you know, fucking millennials, man. They're a bunch of pussies. I got Gary Sanchez being a fat fuck, and he's not motivated to do anything. And if I try to push him a little bit, because I was a catcher, now he's a catcher. Now everyone's saying I'm too hard on the players, and now they want someone that can just pussyfoot around and encourage everyone, get them little pats on the asses. I need Girardi to come out and say something like that. And I think he would be a great fit with the Cubs, too, because I think that they're also a team right now, especially after those Lester comments where he's like, maybe we need to take a long look in the mirror after a season like that. I mean, Lester, I'm sure if I think Lester, by the way, would make a great manager someday. But I think that if Joe Maddon gets dismissed from the Cubs in the next, call it 2 years, Girardi would be a great fit for that team.
I don't think so, just based on, look, like, the personality wise, start with Anthony Rizzo. And then after that, who's getting on board with Girardi? Like, I see Rizzo as a nose to the grindstone. Like, he's a guy who you can put your foot up his ass and get what you're looking for out of Rizzo. That's how you can motivate him. Other guys, I don't think are motivated that way on that club.
Yeah.
And I think Girardi is somebody who does a better job kind of talking shit to you. Maybe his foot up your ass sort of approach. You know, not giving you shit, but just knows he's more prone to challenge you to get what he needs out of you than, you know, let's work through this.
Yeah, I mean, Girardi's not Jim Leland. Like, you're not hiring some sort of disciplinarian. I just think that he would be a good sort of kick in the ass type guy. So we'll see. Is that it, Jahay?
That's it. I don't want a kick in the ass.
No, me neither. Me neither. I need my ass to be nice and non-bruised so I can sit on that helicopter to Boston tomorrow.
Safe travels, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm actually slightly nervous because I was talking about it on Stool Scenes, and I think YP jinxed my helicopter. He was like, "Be ashamed if that's how you went down." It was helicopter, and I was like, "Damn, well." That'd probably get a lot of retweets, us talking about it. So
where are you going to land?
Probably center field, like fucking MJ and Space Jam.
Well, I'll tell you what. If after this supposed stunt that went down with the belly button ring where I was lied to, if I hear reports of your helicopter crashing, I'm just going to assume it was for social media stunts.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I also talked about staging it to motivate the Red Sox to win the World Series, and then they would retire my high school number, and they would wear the black armband for the World Series.
Yep, I can see it all now.
Yeah.
Why don't we do it? Let's just see if they would.
I mean, like, the players would probably like put my initials on their hats and like on their cleats and shit.
Yeah, they draw little rockets.
Yeah.
they might actually just write the word Apollo on their hats.
Yeah, that would be That'd be something else, man.
That's a rocket that blew up, Jared.
Yeah, I know. But we go down in flames, or we don't go down at all.
Good luck, Jared.
Luck is for losers. So wait, are we all doing? Right. Are we doing L.A. Dallas? Do we know if I'm coming up there or not?
Well, what do you want me to do? What do you like? I figure it out fairly quickly how things need to operate. So right. when I needed to get out to Boston, when it was brought to my attention that I did everything, Jared, aside from fly the fucking plane myself out there. So if you're coming out to L.A., probably want to get cracking on that.
Yeah.
But I am here in Los Angeles. There is a room here at the house for you to stay in if you needed that. There are I believe they have hotels in Los Angeles.
Are you trying to have a sleepover, Dallas?
I mean, we could do.
Don't do a hotel.
I feel like we can do a whole fucking video just on a Dallas Braden sleepover.
Yeah, we could do it. We could do a sleepover. We could sit out here. We could sit out here in the office and watch the games. We could even use one day to maybe go into the city and watch a game at a bar, a Dodger bar, like we did in Boston.
Yeah. I'm down to do whatever you want to do. I'm just here for some old fashioned baseball spirited competition. I'm just ready for it.
So the West Coast is always ready for the Rock.
Yeah. No, for, oh God. Fuck.
What do you got? What do you got, Jared?
I just remembered my last experience on the West Coast. I just remembered that I don't remember my experience on the West Coast.
Yeah, I know.
So that'll be an interesting
ping pong rematch.
Yeah, Christ. All right, World Series Game 1 coming up. We'll have more starting 9 coming at your ass this week. We'll do we got the digital show coming up twice this week. Red Sox, Dodgers should be a great series. That's Dallas Braden and Jay Hay. We'll see you next time.
Hey, Cal.